Praise the Lord. Let's pray and ask the Lord's anointing upon us. Father God, thank you that you are present. Thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to come into your throne room this morning. Lord, we thank you for the worship team that has led us there. And Father, we ask, oh God, that your spirit continue, Lord, to work within our lives, God. Father, I just ask, oh God, that you, oh God, will just speak within our hearts through your word. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will move upon us, Lord, and that we will not be the same people, Lord, after we've heard your word. I ask, oh God, that you would touch each one of us, Lord, and just bless this time, Lord Jesus. Lord, it is a new time. It is a new beginning, Lord Jesus, in what you want to do in our nation and beyond our nation, Lord. I ask, oh God, that you would speak to each one of our hearts, oh God, in your name. Amen. Everybody hear me? Yeah? My grace, listen, what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about your name, or what's in a name, or do you have a name, or what is it we're called? And basically, the reason why I want to do that is I want to talk about your identity. If you don't know who you are, you actually don't know what your identity is. Because if you don't know who you are, you do not know. And what I want to talk to you today is I want to talk about names. What it means to have names. Now, we all have a name. Our parents gave us a name. For whatever reason they gave it to us, we have a name. I've got Annette Martina Mary McFarlane. It used to be Annette Martina Mary Donegan. But it's funny because my name isn't actually, I was called after my mother, whose name is Hannah, so I ended up Annette. There was a fight over it, so I got Mary, because that was my grandmother's name, because she wanted to call me Martina, and I ended up with Martina as well. So there's a little story behind my name, even though most people just hear Annette, okay? Here's some names for you, and I want to see, do you recognize these characters? This tells you how important a name is. How many of you know who Harry Webb is? Nobody. This one I thought. That's right. Cliff Richard. Cliff Richard's real name is Harry Webb. Here's another one. Reginald Dwight. Anybody know who he is? Very good. Wow, there's somebody's had a misspent youth. No, sorry, Sharon. Okay. Here's one. Stephanie Joanna Angelina Juramatata. Oh, no, Juramanata. Anybody know who she is? Absolutely, Jimmy. Well done. Lady Gaga. Hey! Woo! Okay. Here's one. Declan Patrick McManus. Anybody know who he is? Who? No, not Boy George. Well, I can understand that because Boy George is Irish. Elvis Costello. And the last one is Karen Elaine Johnson. Anybody know? Whoopi Goldberg. You see, if I just said to you I wanted to talk to you about Reginald Dwight, nobody would understand except one person who I'm talking about. But if I said Elton John, we all conjure up who Elton John is because there's power in a name. And we see this right through the scriptures. In the Bible, the name of a person is significant. In the history of the Jewish people, in their history from very beginning, what name you were given had a significant meaning. It actually had a history. It had prestige, and it was extremely important. And what we find in the scriptures is that name carries on. And what I want to look at is, I want to look at some of those names within the scriptures, but most of all, I want to look at those names that were changed in the scriptures. Names that were given by God, and then God changed them when they encountered God. And that's what God has done to your life. We were one thing before we knew Christ. And then when we came into Christ, we became somebody new. Our identity changed. Our story changed. When people ask us who we are, we don't start at the very beginning and say, this is us. This is what we were before Christ. Our story begins with Christ. Not what you came from, not where you were, not where you were at or what you did, but what you have done and who you are in Christ. And that is the change that happens in our lives when we encounter God. And in the scriptures, as I said, there are loads of cases of where we find the name. Abraham and Sarah, that wasn't their original names. Their names were changed when they were given the covenant, and that Abraham was going to become the father of many and many nations. And yet he had never bore, his wife had never bore any children. And his name was changed. Another one was the prophet Hosea. His son was called Lo-Ammi, meaning not my people. And God told Josiah, call him this, call him, call your son not my people. Nobody would like to be called that, not my people. But as we read the book of Isaiah, we find there's a change. The people within that nation started to move towards God. And God said to Hosea, change his name now to, basically, you are my people. So he went from, his son went from not my people to you are my people. A massive change. Now we just think of a name as a name. But in Hebrew times, they understood when his name was said, they were saying we are not of God. And now his name was changed and we are of God. Again, we see this in actually Jacob. We find Jacob's son when he was born. Rachel called her first son, her last son, which was only two sons, she had Joseph and Benjamin. And Benjamin he was called, and it actually meant the son of sadness. And if you know the story of Rachel, Rachel died giving birth. Now, she was one of two wives in the Old Testament, and Leah had many children, but she only had the two. And when she was in birth on her last child, she was dying, and she knew she was dying, and she called her son of sadness, because she knew that he was going to be sad, he was going to be without his mother, and what was that going to bring to him? So she called him son of sad, and then she died. But Jacob, and remember Jacob, and we're going to look at him now in a few minutes, Jacob, whose name meant one who grabbed a heel, or also meant deceiver, or also meant cheater. So when you were calling Jacob, when people were hearing Jacob in the Hebrew language, they were saying, cheater, come in for your dinner. Deceiver, come in for your dinner. So Jacob understood the power of a negative name, and he changed his son to Benjamin. He did not call him Ben-Onon. He called him Benjamin. And Benjamin means the son of my right hand. He gave his son prestige. He gave his son a new identity. He was telling his son, you are my right hand. He wasn't saying, you are my son of sadness, that you will always remember that your mother died when you were born. But no, he said, you are the son of my right hand. The name changed. What came with that? What came was a new identity in Christ. You see, it is important in the names. We don't always understand it. But actually, any of us who follow Pride and Prejudice, I love Pride and Prejudice, and so does my husband, okay? He loves the old English, okay? Do you remember that when Elizabeth is called out by Lady Catherine, for those of you who know Pride and Prejudice, and she's brought out to have the little walk around the park, and she says to her, and she's accusing her, are you engaged to my nephew? And she says, no. And then she says, and who do you think you are? And this is me for putting the story into my own words. Who do you think you are? Who is your father? Well, her father was a gentleman. Yes, my father was your father is a gentleman. But who are your mother's relatives? Who is your uncles and your aunties and your relatives? And what she was basically saying is, yes, but you come of low stock. And who are you to be marrying of high stock? And see, the name and the identity went with the name and went with the history. And we see this right through the scriptures. There are just a few examples. It went the other way too, where we find here that I've just given you three incidents where the name was changed from the negative to the positive. But we see in the book of Daniel, Daniel had a name that was given of God. It means God is my judge, that God was judging. I don't mean in a negative way, that God was going to stand with Daniel. He was going to be his judge. He was going to be a judge to him, protect him and care for him. And his name was changed to Belshazzar. Excuse me, could I have some water? And what we find here is that he was given a name that honored a pagan god. So we find his name changed, his situation changed, and his identity changed. He went of having God Almighty as his protector, which he still had, but within the name of the people that they heard that he was now given the name that honored the God of the pagan god Baal. So there is power in the name of what we have. So what we want to look at today is that who and what is your name? What is the name? We're going to look at Genesis 32. And actually in Genesis 32 it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hips was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day has broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?'" I mean, he'd been wrestling with him. He'd been arguing all night with him. And he said, "What is your name?" And Jacob said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have strived with God and with men and have prevailed." Prevailed. So what we find here is this incident of Jacob. Now remember who Jacob is. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. The grandson of Abraham. That's who Jacob is. We forget that sometimes in the genealogy, that he had a fantastic genealogy. But he was also called, because he was one of the twins, he deceived his brother Esau out of his birthright. He was a deceiver. Not only was he a deceiver, he was a schemer, because he schemed with his mother in order to bring this about. And as a mother, I find it interesting that any mother could prefer one child over another, but this was the case. So there was a lot of negativity in relation to Jacob. And Jacob went and he fled his home. He left because he was afraid of his brother. He ended up in another nation. He married his cousin. And as we know, we find Jacob here now, afraid, and we find him out seeking the Lord. And God meets with him. God meets with him face to face. And I know for all of us who have come and have met Christ face to face, when we encounter Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we changed. Our name changed. Who we were. We became the children of God when we encountered Christ. Just like Jacob in the New Old Testament, it says his name is no longer Jacob. He is no longer known as a deceiver. He's no longer known as a cheater. He is known as part of God's family. He has met with God and he has still survived and he has strived with God and his identity has changed. And we know that Jacob goes on then and has those children. And we know that the children end up in Israel. And Joseph and his grandchildren, Jacob's children, become the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. So you see, he went from being known as a deceiver. He went to be known as a cheater. And yet, when God changed him, when he encountered God, he became a man of God. In his life, he became known as a man of God. He became known as Israel. And Israel means power with God. So to go from a deceiver to power with God, this is what God does when we encounter him. When we encounter God, we go from the old, from what we wrestled with in our lives, the things that we've covered up, the things that as a deceiver, the things that we've cheated, the things that in our lives we were wretched. But when we encountered God and Christ came into our lives and we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we became children of God. That we became, our identity completely changed. We are not without hope. We are not defeated. We are not children of this world. We are children of God. We are children that God stands with. Our identity changed. We became children of God. We became saved. We came into the family of God. Do you know what it means to be in the family of God? Do you know what it means to be in the family of God? Our identity changed. Do you really know your identity? We sang a powerful song back there earlier, a powerful song about who God was and the victory that we have in God. And that's who we are, and that is who our identity is. We move from a victory. We do not move from defeat. And what we find here is that we find that when we encounter God, our identity changes. So our story changes. Sometimes when I'm talking to people, they constantly, even though they know Christ, they go back to prior to Christ, your relationship when you encountered God. You talk about the things that were instead of what are. And what is that you are a child of God, and that is your identity. So when people ask you, who are you? You are a child of God. And everything that goes along with being in God's family is yours. That's not just something out there. That's not something that you can just say, oh yeah, well, I know that. Well, I'm afraid you may know it, but do you live it? Do you know who you are, and does your life reflect who you are? Does your life reflect who you are? Are you really a child of God? Have you accepted Christ into your life? And if you have, does that life reflect that you are a child of God? Or do you go around with your head down? Or do you go around overwhelmed by situations? Or do you go around because you want to sit down and give up? Or do you want to embrace your identity of who you are in Christ? We find that when people come face to face with Christ, that they encounter a change in their identity, as Jacob did. We find, again, the turning point in Jacob's life was when he met and became face to face with Christ. Have you ever come face to face with Christ? Have you ever come face to face with Christ? Because if you cannot answer that question, I can tell you, you have never come face to face with Christ. If you cannot say, I have encountered God in a personal relationship, then I can say to you, you have never, ever encountered God, and you have never, ever understood who you are and what it means to be a child of God. And this is what goes on in the scriptures and what we happen. We see the power of our name and the power of who we are. In Acts 19, there's a story, and it's a story about seven sons of Sepha. And seven sons of Sepha went, and they wanted to deliver demons. And they came into a church house, and they wanted to be able to say, demons, go out in the name of Jesus. But the story goes on and says that the demons asked him, who are you? What is your name? Why? Because the demons did not recognize Jesus in their lives. And this is what it is for us as Christians. Our identity is in Christ. And everything that goes on with that identity of being in Christ belongs to us. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is deliverance. That is knowing the love of God in our lives. That is understanding who we are in Christ, that we are saved. That when Christ died on that cross, he died for us. We cannot add anything to it. We cannot work towards it. We cannot give anything to it except ourselves. And by recognizing who we are, and that's when we encounter God face to face. We encounter him, and we go from wretched, without hope, to being in Christ, to being in God's family. That encounter changes our identity. But if that's the case, does your identity reflect it in your life? What do people say when they see you? What do they say? Who are you? Who are you? What is your name? What is your name? What is your name in Christ? What is your name? Can you say, it is, I am a child of God? The scripture tells us that in the last days in Revelations, that the name of God is going to be written on our hearts. Now, we can take that now, that when we accepted Christ into our lives, the name of God was written on our hearts. The name of God was written on our hearts. And that's who we are. We are God's. So who are we? We are God's. And when we encountered him, our identity changed. When we are in Christ, regardless of what comes against us, we have the power, because we are in Christ and we are part of his family, to withstand that. And I know that that sometimes isn't fashionable. We are now living in a world where running to the counselor is the best, quickest thing rather than actually going to our Lord. when we want to be able to carry our burdens and carry our burdens and carry our burdens because we have become self-sufficient. We forget who we are in Christ, that we have at our disposal everything, everything that Christ had at his disposal, we have at our disposal. Do you know that? Because that is our identity. We are in the same family that Christ is in. We are, and we have everything that is that we can avail of, that Christ could avail of. What did Christ avail of? He understood how God took care of him. God was with him. And we also know that as followers of Christ, we should reflect him in our lives. And what did he do? He stood for the standard of God so that others may come to know God through him. When we are in Christ, our identity changes. We become members of the family of God, and everything that goes along with that is available to us. It is at our disposal. It is not kept from us. It is not kept from us. I have been around a long time in Christianity, and I have seen, and I have seen, and I have seen. And I know how sometimes it can be hard to carry a burden on your back. But the problem is you're carrying the burden on your back instead of giving it over to the Lord. And sometimes it comes back and smacks you in the face. And you have to remind yourself who you are in Christ. Because I'm telling you, this world will remind you of your old story. Your old story. They will tell you whatever your old story is, that you are a failure, or that you weren't loved, or whatever it is, that you made mistakes, that you did things that you shouldn't have done. Well, news to everybody, the only person who didn't do anything that he shouldn't have done was Christ. Every one of us here have done things that we should not do. It is our old story. It is the one that the devil would want to belt us with. It is the one where the devil wants us to be stuck. He wants us in our old identity. He wants Jacob to remain Jacob, a deceiver and a cheater, not Israel, where the power of God was in his life and given to him. He wants us to live in our new identity as children of God. I can preach until the cows come home here. I can go and parse the Greek and do whatever I have to do. But unless you stand up within your heart and say, I am going to reflect my identity. I am going to remind myself, who am I in Christ? Then, and then only, are you going to see the power of Christ in your life. It is not what I can impart to you. It is not what anybody can impart with you. It is what your relationship with God is. Jacob encountered God. He submitted. He wrestled. He went. He wanted to keep his own strength. He came to God in strength. He came to God in pride. And he wrestled that night. And he wrestled. And he would not go. And he would not give up. And at the end of it, his name and identity was changed. But he also walked away with a limp. He also walked away with a limp, but he walked away with the power of God. He would not let go until he was blessed. And that's who we are in Christ. That's who we are. That is our identity. We do not let go who we are. So when we are confronted by the world, and believe me, it will, just look what's going on outside. It is very hard to stand for the standards of Christ in the world. It is very hard. If you mention anything that is any way politically incorrect, you end up being branded. You're more likely being branded and persecuted as a Christian than you are as an immoral whatever. Because the standards of God are not what people want to hear anymore. We have become, or we think we are, self-sufficient, and we have become the most important things in our lives. But for God, he has changed us. And the standard has become us in Christ. Not us, but in us, Christ has become the standard of who we are. What is your identity? What does your life reflect? Which identity, which story do you stand behind? Which is the story that holds you? Which is the story that binds your life? Is it the story of what you came from? Or is it a story that you are a child of God because you have encountered God? What is your identity? And everything that goes along with being a child of God, everything that goes along with being a part of God's family. Which is your story? Because if it's this story over here of your life, that you're not worthy, or that you've done too much that you could never be redeemed, you're right. You cannot be. Because the only person who can redeem you is Jesus Christ. You cannot work to be redeemed. You're never going to be and do enough or give enough if you're trying to redeem that old story and change that old story by yourself. When we encounter God, we're given a new identity. We're giving a new identity in Christ. We don't live in the past. We live in the present of who we are in Christ. Because when the enemy comes against us, we can stand. And nothing can prevail against us. Nothing can prevail against us when we stand and remind ourselves of who we are, remind ourselves of who our name is, remind us that we are children of God. And we have to do that sometimes when the attack comes against us. You know, the scriptures in James says that temptation is not the problem. It's giving into that temptation, giving into that desire. It is that. And in that moment of temptation is when we remind ourselves who we are in Christ. We remind ourselves what our identity is. Who is God? What does God mean to us? And what has God done in our lives? We remind ourselves of that. Because when temptation comes, and it will until the day Christ takes us home, none of us are ever going to be exempt from it. I would love to say to you that when you come to Christ, your life is all bliss and everything is fantastic and everything, because every one of you will stand up and say, I think you're lying there, Annette. We don't care if you're preaching. What is that our identity has changed. We are in Christ. We are boldly walking into the throne room of God. Can you imagine? Before, in our old story, before we encountered Christ, we could not come into the presence of God. We could not enter into the throne room of God and worship. But that's who you are now. You are covered by the robes of righteousness. And when you walk, you can, as soon as you raise your hands, as soon as you pray to the Lord, you are like into the presence of God. You are into the presence of God. Because of your new identity, because you are a child of God and he has allowed you in. That's what it means to live and reflect your identity in Christ. As a Christian, we need to reflect who we are. Who are we? Who are we? We are children of God Almighty, the creator of the universe, who loved us so much that he sent his son to die. And as we sang about Jesus hanging on the cross, as we sang about the blood of Jesus flown, all of those things were done for us. And that's where we encounter God. For the first time we encounter God at the cross, at the feet of the cross, we accept that there's nothing that we can do. The scripture tells us there is nothing we can do. There is absolutely nothing we can do to have a relationship with Jesus Christ unless we actually ask him to step into our lives. He is the one who changes our identity. And nothing can come against us when we remind ourselves what is our identity. And things happen with even in the Christian world. But we don't give up on our identity. We don't give up on who we are. We don't sit down. We accept who we are. And it gives us strength. It releases us. It gives us freedom in our lives. And as I said in Revelation 3, it talks about that God is going to write on our hearts the name of God on our hearts. The name of God on our hearts. He's going to write the name of the city. He's going to be, and then we are going to have that permanently on our hearts. It identifies us, who we are in Christ. It doesn't take you long when you go into a group and you start talking to people. You find Christians, even if they don't tell you. You find them. Even the ones who tell you you're a Christian, it doesn't take you long to say, yeah, you're Christian in name. You don't really understand your identity. Your identity does not reflect your behavior. And I think all of us have encountered that. We have met people who said, oh, yeah, I've gone to church all my life. I have done this all my life. I've been a good person all my life. And yet you know in your spirit that you are not in the same family. You are not in the same family. And the reason is that they have never encountered God personally in their lives. And their identity has never changed. And they're still in the old story. And the new story is what? Is that we are children of God, and that's the story that we live in. That's the one that we apply to our lives. And that's what it is. You know, the scripture says what the Lord says about us. How? What is the name? What is it being changed to? The things that where God calls us. God calls us chosen. This is our story. This is our identity. We are called chosen in the scriptures. We are called beloved in the scriptures by God. We are called his children in the scriptures. We are called his friend. This is our identity. We are called his workmanship. You are God's workmanship. He is molding you. He has created you, but he is molding you. He is an artist that has not stopped. He has not stopped. Your identity starts in Christ. Your story starts in Christ. It doesn't go back before that. It goes as of Christ, we go on. He calls us treasured possessions. He calls us daughter or son in scriptures. He calls us his heir. Bert and I were talking about this on the way over. We're saying what it really means to be an heir. Now, I don't come from any wealth, so, you know, I'd never be inheriting anything of great. So there'd be no squabbles in my family about who's going to inherit what. But I know when we talk about it, when we understand it, we do know what an heir means. It's that person who inherits all the rights of being a child of that person who has left us, whatever it be. And that is what it is in God, that as children of God, we are heirs to everything that he has. And like I said, in Christ, we have at our disposal everything that Christ had at his disposal in our lives. He calls you holy and blameless. That's not something you can say in your old story, but it's certainly something you can say in this story. You are holy and blameless because of the blood of Christ in your life. You are holy and blameless because of the blood of in your life, because of what the blood of Christ has done in your life. You are the apple of his eye, according to Psalm 17:8. You are called blessed. This is everything that God has called you. Okay? You are called his redeemed. In him we have redemption through his blood. We are redeemed. These are the new names. These are the things that we must reflect in our lives. This is the identity that we must reflect. What is that identity that we reflect? Only you and God know where you stand in your understanding of God. It's your responsibility to come to get to know God. And the old stories and the old metaphors that I can use about if you don't spend time with somebody, you don't know them. And all of them are true. They're said and they're there before a reason. We come to the Lord and we spend that time in the Lord and he works on us. And we get to understand our identity. And as we walk in the ways, and as we encounter problems, we become stronger in our faith because we call upon that which Christ was able to call upon. The Holy Spirit, the power and deliverance. We are sustained in Christ. These are the things. When we come into fear, we know that God is walking with us and he will walk through that. God walks with our disappointment with us. He does not disappear during our disappointment. He does not disappear when we face tragedy. These are the things, and this is our identity, and this is what it means to be a child of God. This is the identity that God has given to us. There's a story of Alexander the Great, as you know, a long time ago, and if you don't know who Alexander the Great is, he was a great military man back in the day. And he only lived into his 30s. He wasn't long, but he conquered the world. And that's the reason why he was called, well, that particular world he lived in, why he was called Alexander the Great. And he was doing a soldier inspection. And that inspection was, as he was going through the soldiers, he was inspecting them. And he came across this one young soldier that actually was pretty much untidy in his dress. He didn't look like the rest of them. And he stopped. And Alexander the Great said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Alexander, sir." He said, "No, what is your name?" And he said, "Alexander, sir." And he said, no, I want to know your name. He said, my name is Alexander. And Alexander the Great said to him, either change your name or start behaving like you reflect the name that you have. And that's what it is as Christians. Our name is changed. Let's reflect that. Our identity has changed. Let's reflect that we are God's children. And we go into this world as God's children. With everything that Christ had at his disposal, we have at our disposal. And let's be what we should be, because there's a nation that needs Christ. There are families that need Christ. And most of all, in our lives as Christians, we need to say, we are in the family of God. And no matter what we encounter, we will prevail. We will prevail because we have Christ standing with us. We have God with us. And we will prevail. Let's pray.